We're going to hear about a kirtan, not like that kirtan, but even more ecstatic kirtan, amongst the Mahabhagavata Vaishnavas at the disappearance festival of Nadahari Thakur that went on all night long, preceded by a Srimad Bhagavatam class that started in the morning by Srinivasacharya that went on all day long. And that wasn't the best of it. Stay tuned. Srikanda and the devotees of Srikanda, headed by Narahari, had a very prominent connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So prominent that during the Rath Yatra festival, we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there were 7 Sankirtan parties. 4 of them were the associates of Mahaprabhu who resided with him in Puri. 1 of them was Advaita Acharya's group from Shantipur. Another was Kulina Gram, where we visited, the now Navadweep city, and Srikanda. And in each Sankirtan party, there were chief singers and chief dancers. And Narahari, and especially Raghunandan, were chief dancers. There's not a great deal of explanation of as much as in some other biographical works about the residence of Srikanda. We'll go back to Lochandas Thakur, who was a prominent author of a biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life entitled Sri Chaitanya Mangal, who was a disciple of Narahari. Lochandas was born in 1523 from a physician family, a Vaidya family, as Narahari and his brother Mukunda were also in a physician family. And as was the practice previously, even up to Srila Prabhupada's time, young boys, before they reached maturity, they were married. The arrangement was that would be settled by between families and by horoscope match, so that the young boy and the young girl would know who they would be married to when they became mature. They didn't live together as husband and wife. They stayed with their families, but there wasn't this, whatever you want to call it, program that goes on today, dating and mixing and yada, yada, yada. They didn't have any of that. So Lochan was married as a young boy. And from his childhood, he exhibited outstanding devotion to Krishna. We see that in some children, that just anything in relation to Krishna, they're right there. They're very excited. So the village from which Lochandas hailed was not far from Srikanda, so he naturally was attracted to Narahari. So he came here, and he heard from Narahari, and he was trained by Narahari in the teachings of pure devotion to Krishna. And he trained Lochandas in styles of kirtan, because at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's even described about these three principles, Srinivas, Naratam, and Shamananda. They each had their particular style, but the essence was Shuddha Bhakti. So Narahari also had his particular style, and he trained that style with his student, Lochan. And Lochan had such devotion for Krishna and no attraction for anything material. He practically forgot that he was married. He was just absorbed in devotional service here in the ashram of Narahari, but the parents of the girl didn't forget. And when the girl became of a mature age, the girl's parents were, one can only imagine, in anxiety. So what do parents in anxiety do when they have something like that? They go and tell somebody. They told many somebodies, and then there was somebody said, well, go and tell Narahari. It's Lochan is his student. So Narahari received the parents, and the parents said, our dear daughter, she can't be remarried to anybody else. We know that Lochan is your student, and he's very happy what he's doing, but he's married. And this is our daughter, and please do something. Tell him that he should marry the girl. Tell him he should go and stay with her. So what is a spiritual master to do with something like that? He knew the disposition of Lochan, but he went to him and said, by religious principle, the girl can't remarry. It would be irreligious. And although you were young, it was just arranged for you, still you're married, you should do something. He wasn't so specific. Do something. So because Narahari was the life and soul of Lochan, he followed the instruction of his spiritual master and went to the town. Because when he was little, he didn't even remember who the girl was, where the town was, what's going on, what's up, what's down. And when he went into the town, there was a well where the ladies were drawing water from the well, and he approached one lady who was there and said, Mataji, where's the home of so-and-so? And the girl pointed and said, the home of so-and-so is just over there. So he went to the home of the girl's parents and introduced himself. They didn't recognize him either because he was just a small boy. Now he's a grown-up young man. And he introduced himself. My name is Lochan, and I guess I married your daughter when I was small. And my spiritual master said I should do something, but I don't even know who your daughter is. And just as he was speaking, the same girl who he met at the well came in the house. That was the girl that he married. And the parents said, here she is. And Lochan said, but the first that I recognized when I saw her, when I came into the village, I addressed her as mother. Because my spiritual master trained me to see everyone as mother, whatever their age, any female as mother. So I've already addressed her as mother. I can't possibly accept her in any other relationship than mother. Will you see if you can work something out with your mother here? So Lochan spoke with the girl, and the girl could understand his heart. She didn't know what to do about herself, but she understood, this isn't going to work. Someone that sees me as mother, become my husband. And so Lochan was released from that marriage vow of a small boy and came back here to Sri Kanda and continued to study under Narahari Thakur. In the course of time, he became his initiated disciple. Narahari trained him in all aspects of devotion, and he instructed him to write a biography, because Narahari was an ocean of nectar of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila. So he ordered him, "You're my disciple, here's your order. Write a biography of the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And so he did. And his life and soul of Lochan Das was Narahari Thakur. So he, throughout the book, just as we find Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is forever repeating the offers his obeisances again and again to Rupa and Raghunath, from whom he learned and heard so much. He felt complete shelter in their spiritual care. So he wrote Chaitanya Mangal. Now, tomorrow, we're going to Mangachi tomorrow. And tomorrow you'll hear about Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was accepted as the principal biographer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or at least the Vyasadeva, as Vyasadeva was the compiler of Srimad Bhagavatam, the life of Lord Krishna. So Vrindavan Das was the Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as Krishna's life was Srimad Bhagavatam, his book became changed, because he also called it Chaitanya Mangala, became Chaitanya Bhagavat, because there were two books, Chaitanya Mangala, and it was a little confusing. It became Chaitanya Bhagavat. Many of the pastimes that have been narrated during this yatra that you haven't heard, mainly or largely they're coming from Chaitanya Bhagavat or Bhakti Ratnakar. So he wrote that Chaitanya Mangal. Later, and the writings were from what he heard from Narahari, but also from the Kadachas, or the diary of Murari Gupta. We visited the home of Murari Gupta the first evening. So Murari Gupta, also a vaidya, a physician, he very expertly kept notes, like a diary. And that diary became a very important resource for Lochan Das, as well as for Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in his writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Through passage of time, because he knew the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is that one is an offender if one accepts Lord Chaitanya but does not accept Lord Nityananda. But it was by the order of a spiritual master to write the biography of Lord Chaitanya. So not wanting to be guilty of an offense, because he certainly felt nothing but great love for Lord Nityananda, so he also wrote some very, very beautiful songs in glorification, and poems in glorification of Lord Nityananda. So that's one very great personality who spent substantial time here at Sri Kanda. Particularly also, there were two brothers, Mukunda Sarkar and Narahari Sarkar, sometimes identified as Mukunda Das and Narahari Das. And the son of Mukunda was Raghunandan, So we're going to hear something about those three personalities. Mukunda was a physician, but not only he was a physician, he was such an excellent physician that the king of this whole area accepted him as his physician. So he's the physician to the king. We find this description in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one time he was attending to some physical or some medical requirements of the king. So he came before the king, and the king was seated on a high throne. And to shade the king from the sun, some servant came and brought a peacock fan as the two of them were speaking. And when Mukunda saw the peacock fan, he thought of Krishna. And when he thought of Krishna, it wasn't just, oh, there's a nice thought of Krishna. He became completely absorbed in thought of Krishna so much that he fell to the ground in a mood of ecstatic love for Krishna. And as he fell to the ground, he fell down the steps leading up to the big high throne of the king. And the king got off his throne and came down because it's his physician in Mukunda. Are you okay? What happened? Are you feeling any pain? Is everything all right? And Mukunda came to external consciousness and made a little alibi. He said, oh, everything is all right. I have this ailment that's something like epilepsy. And sometimes I lose my external consciousness, and so everything is fine. Don't worry. But the king, because he was a quality person, he could understand that's not what happened. He saw the peacock fan and he thought of Krishna. This physician of mine, Mukunda, is such an elevated devotee of the personality of Godhead. So he treated him with great respect thereafter, not just as his physician, a servant to the king. So Mukunda had one son whose name was Raghunandan. And Raghunandan there's a murti over here. There's a room, a place where Raghunandan took birth, right over this way. And from his childhood, Raghunandan was a great devotee and was particularly keen in his attraction to watch his father engaged in their family deity of Gopinath. So as he was worshipping Gopinath, Mukunda would show his son, this is how you worship the deity. Then circumstance had it that Mukunda had to leave town and go and take care of some business, some physician business. So he asked his son Raghunandan, do you think, just as you have seen me do, that you can make the offering? It's very simple. Your mother will provide you with the meal, and you take the plate, you place the plate before the Lord, make the place clean, place the plate before the Lord, and you take the little bell like you've seen me do, and you offer prayers to the Lord. And to make it very simple, the prayer that you can offer is, my dear Gopinath, please accept this offering. And say that with love and devotion. And surely he will accept. Do you think you can do that, Raghunandan? He was very excited because he was so attracted to assist his father in deity worship. So right here, there's their altar. His mother prepared the meal, gave it to Raghunandan. Raghunandan placed before the deity, sat and rang the little bell. And then he said to Gopinath, please accept this offering. My mother has made this for you. Please take it. And he sat and waited, and he didn't see Gopinath take the offering. So he rang the bell again and asked the deity, please accept. Is there something wrong? Have we not made the offering nice for you? Raghunandan kept pleading with Gopinath and started crying. And Gopinath, seeing such pure devotion from Raghunandan, he ate everything on the plate. And Raghunandan was very happy. And he brought the empty plate to his mother. His mother didn't know what to say. So when Mukunda came home at the end of the day, his practice was, he would take his bath, put on fresh cloth, and that which was offered to Gopinath during the day would be his evening meal. So when it was time for his evening meal, he sat down and his wife came and said, I'm sorry, but there's nothing to offer to you because, well, I don't know what happened. But Raghunandan said he went and offered everything to the deity and the deity ate everything and there was nothing left. So I don't have any prasad for you. So Mukunda said, do you think he ate it? But that would be an offense if not offering the deity first, but he's just a small boy, who knows? Raghunandan, come here. My dear boy, please tell me what happened today. And Raghunandan repeated everything that happened. So his father, being a Brahmin, knew how to test the truth. He said, very well. Your mother has made some nice laddu, but it hasn't been offered yet. Can you make an offering tonight just as you made the offering during the day? And so he placed before the altar, made the place clean, sat the plate down, paid his obeisances, rang his little bell. Gopinath, please accept these laddus. Mukunda was watching to see what was going to happen. Several times again, just as previously during the day. And Raghunandan began to cry. Please, take this offering. It's offered to you, it's all that we have. Please take it. Oh, being moved again by the pure devotion of Raghunandan, Gopinath reached with his hand, picked up the laddu, and bit into the laddu. And Mukunda saw, ah! Gopinath has eaten the laddu from Raghunandan! And he put the other half of the laddu down. From that time, Mukunda could understand how elevated was the devotion of his son. Of course, he himself was on such a platform of pure devotion. Very quickly, the reputation of Raghunandan, he who has induced the deity to personally eat the items of food. His father had explained to him, I forgot an important part, the way that the offering is made is the deity can eat just by seeing. When you offer your prayers, he can eat just by hearing. But he's so kind, after eating, he leaves his prasad. But Raghunandan was just a small boy. He couldn't understand that high technology stuff. He was just expecting the deity to take the food. So just as we heard how Srinivas Acharya became famous even before he was born, now Raghunandan, just a small boy, word spread how famous he is. And so the devotees of the Lord wanted to come from all directions and not only pay their respects to Narahari and Mukunda, the two brothers, but Raghunandan, just to see this wonderful, pure devotee, small boy. And they came from all directions to see him. And one of the ones that wanted to see him also and pay his obeisances was Abhiram Thakur. We'll tell here, because to do over there, then we have to set up and do the whole thing. So I'll tell here. We're going to go to the place where a very wonderful pastime took place, where we'll take our lunch. So I'm telling the Leela now to save us time for when we get there. We can hear the translation afterwards also. So we heard about Srinivas Acharya getting the mercy of Jai Mangala, the whip of Abhiram Thakur. Abhiram Thakur was another transcendental personality that is beyond our conception. How he can gift people of Krishna Prema by whipping them with his whip. But he had another power. The other power is when he would pay his obeisances to deities, if the deity, the Shalagram, was not being worshipped with pure devotion, the Shalagram would crack. And if he paid obeisances to a person who had even a tinge of material desire, their head would crack. And he wanted to come to Srikanda and pay his obeisances to Raghunandan. So he started making a pilgrimage, just as we did, to Srikanda. When his father, Mukunda, heard that Abhiram Thakur is coming to pay his obeisances to my son, he thought, oh no, my son may die. So they made an arrangement when Abhiram Thakur was coming to hide him. They took him out of the village and hid him in someone's home and said to the family, keep him there when Abhiram Thakur comes. Wait till we tell you it's okay to let him go. Anything could happen. So Abhiram Thakur came to Srikanda. And everyone respected Abhiram Thakur as this transcendental personality that you don't mess around with. So they paid their obeisances. And yes, Abhiram Thakur, how can we serve you? And he said, I'd like to pay my obeisances to Raghunandan. Is he here? And Mukunda couldn't tell a lie. So he said, oh, he's gone out of town just now. How unfortunate. But we're so happy that you're here. Is there some other way that we can serve you? He said, no, I just want to pay my obeisances to Raghunandan. I'll wait till he comes back. I saw a very nice shady place some distance away, and I'll wait there for Raghunandan. So we'll see that sitting place where he sat, waiting for Raghunanda, as providence would have it, lo and behold, here comes Raghunandan, right to the very place where Abhiram Thakur was seated, waiting for him. And as Abhiram Thakur stood to receive Raghunandan, Raghunandan ran to the place where Abhiram Thakur was sitting, and Abhiram Thakur paid his obeisances to Raghunandan, and they embraced in great ecstasy. And as they embraced in great ecstasy, they felt transcendental devotion filling their bodies, and they began dancing and dancing and chanting in great ecstasy, spontaneously, in love of God. As Raghunandan was dancing, he had little ankle ornament, and it said that that ankle ornament in the ecstasy of his dancing went flying in the air. 4 miles away, they were so ecstatic. And it landed in a kund. So there's now a place we're not going to go to where it's called Nippura Kund, where that ankle ornament of Raghunandan landed in a kund. Every year, the residents of Shikhanda, just as we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shivananda Sen took a group of Vaishnavas from Bengal. They would assemble at Advaita Acharya's place, a big festival for days. You can't have a little festival. For days, and then begin their journey to go see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And every year the devotees from Shikhanda would join that group. And they would take part in the Rath Yatra festival. And then after Rath Yatra they would stay. And when it was time to return, we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the different devotees would come, groups of devotees, and one by one devotees would come, and Lord Chaitanya would give some instruction to them so they could maintain their lives for the next 8 months before they could again see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one time he invited Mukunda to answer a question. And the question was, Mukunda, are you the father of Raghunandan, or is Raghunandan the father of you? And Mukunda's answer is, Raghunandan is the father and I am the son. Because from Raghunandan I have received bhakti. And one who gives bhakti becomes one's father. And one who is the recipient becomes his son. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy with that response. He said, yes, that is right. Raghunandan is the father, and you are the son. And then he described, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assigned 3 different services. Very important. 2 brothers, 1 son, 3 different services. Same village, but of a different nature, and so they had 3 different services. So to Mukunda, he said, you return to Shikhanda, and you earn material and spiritual wealth in your service as a physician. Raghunandan, you worship the deity. Narahari, you stay here, along with the renounced devotees here in Puri. And you insist us in serving the devotees and engaging in our preaching work. So it's often been described that these are 3 principal or primary categories of devotional service within the Vaishnava community. And all 3 are required. And all 3 are important, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave equal importance to each one. Raghunandan had already demonstrated what attraction and quality of love and devotion he had for worshipping the deity. So that was his service. His father, Mukunda, royal physician, wealth is needed to carry on the preaching mission. You continue earning wealth and spiritual wealth. That's your service. And Narahari, a great preacher. We need great preachers to carry on the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We need all 3 of these things. So just even within the same family, different services. So as we're as our nature is so disposed, and as those who are guiding us in our spiritual lives give us some service to do, they're equally shared, of equal importance, but all should be done with pure devotion to Krishna. It's a very nice lesson to learn from these three devotees residing here in Srikhanda. We heard earlier Lord Nityananda and Mahaprabhu visited here, with Lord Nityananda in the mood of Balaram desiring honey. So Narahari, understanding the mood of Lord Nityananda, "I want honey, Varuni, Varuni." He was Madhumati, so he knew what to do. He went just a pot of water. It's said in Bhakti Ratnakar, the palms of his hands brought some water from that kund. And right in the palm of his hands, the water turned into honey by the transcendental potency of Lord Nityananda. And Narahari himself will conclude describing. He describes something of Raghunandan and Mukunda. Even when Narahari was very young, before he had any association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very devoted to Krishna. He wrote poems. He was a Kaviraj personality, a great literary personality. So he wrote poems of Radha and Govinda's Leela, Bhakti Vakar describes. And throughout his whole life, we heard some of Srinivasacharya coming here and receiving guidance from him. But all the devotees of the Lord during that period of time valued Narahari's association. He wrote several books. One of those books has been translated, and I have an electronic copy of it, of Krishna Bhajanamrita, translated by Bhanu Swami. It's a very important book. It describes the etiquette of a devotee to the spiritual master. Very important book, yes? It's a 500-year-old book, but the principles, the cultural nuances are relevant for the time. The principles are appropriate for all time. I spent a little time with Umapati Swami when I first came here. He's residing in Sridhar Mayapur, and he said, "Oh, I'm reading Narahari Thakur's Krishna Bhajanamrita." So as he guided the Vaishnava community over a period of time, when it came to his disappearance, because over there is his samadhi, on the occasion of his disappearance, the surviving nephew, Raghunandan, wanted to hold a big festival. So the details of that big festival are described in Bhakti Ratnakar, and I'm not going to go into the detail, but I'll give you a flavor. The most important devotees remaining, including Mother Janava, Veer Chandra, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Ramchandra Kaviraj, of course, Raghunandan, and all the great devotees came here, and it was an Ekadasi day. So what do Vaishnavas sometimes do? And these Vaishnavas, they observe fasting on Ekadasi day. It's no problem for the cooking department. They had Mangal Arti right here where we are. And then it was time for the Srimad Bhagavatam class, And when it was time for Srimad Bhagavatam class, they all wanted Srinivas to give the Srimad Bhagavatam class. But he was feeling, as great devotees are often feeling, unqualified. I'm in the association of Birchandra, the son of Lord Nityananda, and Janava herself. She should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Or Raghunandan, he's a pure devotee of the Lord. He should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. But they all wanted Srinivasacharya to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So they made a seat somewhere in the area where we are here. And with all respect, they offered garlands and sandalwood pulp to all the devotees who were in attendance. And the Bhagavatam itself was honored with garland and great prayers. And Srinivas began speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And the speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam was like a flow of nectar. And a flow of nectar that didn't stop. It was Ekadasi day. In honor of the disappearance of Narahari, it went on all day long, and no one fell asleep. No one became fatigued, because they are all pure devotees of the Lord, hearing the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam from Srinivasacharya. And by the close of the day, the Bhagavatam class was over, and it was time for aarti. So the great singers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as we experienced nice kirtan, they began kirtan. And the kirtan was not only because they're wonderful devotees, but the mood was in honor of the departure of this great Vaishnava Narahari. So it was just ecstatic. And like that kirtans at Srivas Ankan, it went on all night long. And when the morning came, everyone was sad that the morning had come, the night had passed. Then there was the consideration of how to break the Dwadasi or Ekadasi fast. Serve nice prasad to all the devotees. So arrangements were made for wonderful prasadam to be prepared and offered in time for breaking of Ekadasi. Raghunandan made arrangements for serving all the devotees. And after all the devotees were served, the servers were served. And Raghunandan went to the same place that we passed before coming here, the samadhi of Narahari, and much like he did as a small boy, he made the place clean, the plate down, and made the offering to Narahari with pure devotion, and requested Narahari to accept. And Narahari appeared before Raghunandan and accepted the offering after his departure. He said nothing. He came back, served all the devotees, saw that all their needs were met, but just carrying pure devotion within his heart for his beloved spiritual master or his uncle, but he accepted him in that way as his instructing spiritual master. So a very amazing, transcendentally amazing family. Raghunandan, the son of Mukunda, and his brother Narahari Thakur. It's a very wonderful, wonderful place. I think what will be very nice when we leave here, go and have our 4:30 lunch, whatever it's going to be, because I heard that because breakfast was late, devotees are saying we're not hungry yet. So that's why we're shifting the schedule this way. will leave in a kirtan procession and watch and see what happens in the village of Srikhanda. I had this experience once and I've heard about it several times. Nitai Prasad said, what will happen is the villagers of Srikhanda who are such Gaura Bhaktas, they'll come out of their houses and offer flowers and put water on the road for the feet of the devotees as we proceed out. So don't get lost, otherwise you'll miss the ecstasy. And we'll proceed to our vehicles and vehicles back to the mandir. And that's it for today. Now there's been, because of the chaos the other day with Ekachakra, I felt it was like that anyways, and the unexpected experience at Srivasangan, we thought to shift the schedule a little bit for the remaining days. So the idea was travel less, kirtan more. So the 8th and the 9th day had us traveling to new places and then coming back to Mayapur. And so we won't go to so many new places, some new places, but less distance out, more time for kirtan and katha tomorrow. And the next day, and the final day will be, you know, we'll go towards Calcutta and visit some other places. And then those that have some transportation, you know, out of Howrah Station or airport or whatever can go to Calcutta. I know the number of devotees are coming back to Mayapur. So that's the flow of the arrangement. And I don't think we need to describe the detail, but I do need to know what time we want people to be at the bus stand, as you say in India. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Kanda Dhamma ki, Samveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nithai Gopimanandi Harivam.